Grace and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So what do you do when you hear something break in the other room and you run in to see what happened and you see your six-year-old standing there with a ball in his hand and the lamp laying broken on the floor? Kind of depends on the attitude and the action of your six-year-old, doesn't it? I mean, if he's standing there with a smirk on his face, trying to fight back the laughter with perhaps his older sibling, you're probably going to be pretty angry, right? I mean, and of course, there'll probably be some swift, if not severe, punishment. After all, he knew the rules, and he broke them, along with breaking the lamp. But if you come into that room only to find your child standing there every bit as broken as that lamp, a child weeping and confessing their wrongdoing and apologizing profusely, you're probably going to hug that child, kiss them, and forgive them, right? This scenario is the essence of how we apply the law and the gospel. And these two are the two great doctrines of Holy Scripture. The law consists of all those things that God requires of us or forbids to us. And the punishments then associated with failing to keep and honor those rules. But the gospel doesn't require anything of us at all. And there are no conditions or punishments associated with it. The gospel is all about God's love and mercy and forgiveness and consists only of God's unconditional, gracious gifts. C.F.W. Walther, a great Lutheran theologian, and as some of you might know, the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod back in the 1800s, once wrote that the doctrinal content of all of Holy Scripture, both the Old and New Testaments, consists of two dramatically opposite teachings, namely the law and the gospel. And that to distinguish properly between the two is the most difficult and exalted skill of Christians and theologians. But why is it so hard to distinguish between the two if they are exact opposites? I mean, I can see how black and a really, really dark blue or black and a really dark brown might be hard to distinguish between, especially as your eyes get older. But almost anyone can tell the difference between black and white. Things that are diametric opposites are usually very easy to distinguish between. So what makes this so difficult? And it is difficult. So much so that Martin Luther once stated this. He said, "There is no man living on earth who knows how to distinguish between the law in the gospel." And they said this not because the distinction is so hard to understand, but because this distinction is so hard to apply. We may know in our minds how to distinguish between the law and the gospel. We may be able to see the difference between the two. But in matters of life, in matters of experience, the lines become exceedingly blurred. Luther went on to say that when it comes to experience, you will find the gospel a rare guest, but the law a constant guest in your conscience. Walther gives this example to further Luther's point. He wrote, "When Christians are about to enter eternity, they begin to wonder, am I really fit for it? They recall many Bible passages, among them, 'If you would enter life, keep the commandments.' And they forget that this is law. And then their hearts will say to them, 'You are not fit. You can't be saved.' In that moment, they simply cannot distinguish between the law and the gospel." You see, the moment that we start feeling pretty good, pretty secure, pretty certain about our salvation, the devil helps us recall God's word. How's that for a twist? God's word that reveals our sinfulness. All of a sudden, we're reminded that all our righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord, and that the soul who sins is the one who will die, and that the wages of sin is death, and that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the sexually immoral and the greedy and the drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God, nor will anyone who gratifies the desires of the sinful nature by lying or gossiping or being selfish or jealous or full of anger and envy. We are reminded by the father of lies that all of the law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. And then we're also reminded how often we have failed to keep that one single command. And so we begin to wonder, how then can I be saved? How can I possibly be assured of life with God in heaven when so much of God's word convicts and confronts me with my sin and gives me absolutely no hope of ever joining God in his heavenly kingdom? Only through the gospel. Yes, it is true that the wages of sin is death, but it's also true that the free gift of God in Christ Jesus is eternal life. And although the sting of death is sin, God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And while we face death all day long, and we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered, and we are confronted by so many things, trouble and hardship and danger and on and on and on, all things that threaten to separate us from God, we are also promised that nothing will be able to snatch us out of God's hand, nor separate us from His love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with us, for He is our good shepherd, who lays down His life for us, His sheep. And one day, He will come back to this earth in bodily forms. We can see Him. And He will take us to be with Him in His heavenly mansion, the one He is right now there preparing for us. And He will welcome us into His kingdom with the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And He will wipe every tear from our eyes and will place upon our heads the crown of everlasting life. And all this God will do for us because his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, gave himself on a cross as the sacrifice for our sin, and because he rose from the grave as the victor over death. Because of God's love and because of Jesus' sacrifice, our sins have been forgiven, forgotten, and removed from us as far as the east is from the west. No matter how often God's law convicts us of our sin, God's gospel then also absolves us of our sin. Thus, even when we can't distinguish between the two, and we wrongly apply the law, or we fail to cling to the gospel, God in his love still forgives us. You see, the gospel always has the last word for those who repent of their sins. Always. But both doctrines are important, and both are necessary. We need God's law in order to make us aware of our sin. For you see, without an awareness of our sin, there would be no recognition of our need for a Savior. And we need God's gospel. For without the gospel, there would be no knowledge of God's forgiveness and God's salvation. That which was won for us by Jesus through his death and resurrection. The law and the gospel. They are the two predominant doctrines of the Holy Scriptures. To know them is essential for reading and understanding God's Word and for being Lutheran. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God in Christ is eternal life. To God and God alone be the glory. Amen.